Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Me as well as speak to me, Lord God. God, help me to deliver this word the way you gave it to me, Lord God. God, help us to leave out of here transformed, renewed, refreshed, revived, Lord God. God, I ask that you begin to stir us up this day, Lord God. God, that we'll continue to trust in you, Lord God, and not be afraid, not back down, not get discouraged, Lord God, but we would know that you are God and you are God alone. We just thank you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I have been praying and praying. And, you know, the first title I had, I liked it because it seemed a little different. It said, the power of being afraid in the dark. Not saying, oh, it's dark outside, I'm afraid. But when it's dark, when it's in a dark season of your walk with God, you sometimes get afraid. Why? Because it's quiet. Because thoughts begin to play in your mind. Because maybe you begin to put in doubt in yourself. Oh, I can't do that. I don't know how it's going to work. And all these things begin to cloud your mind. It was interesting because I had that title a few days ago. And then yesterday morning, I got up and I was getting ready for work and I went out the door. And there's not a lot of woods by us, but there's enough. And I get out there and I'm walking in the parking lot and I see a coyote. And it's kind of dark outside. And I got scared for a split second. And I said, okay, God, I can't go back in this house and wake Marquise up, because he's like, what do you want me to do? And I'm like, I need to get to work. So, Lord, I need you to help me right now. So as I'm walking with boldness. He said, just continue just to trust me. And so I began to walk because I'm like, Lord, I don't want him coming after me. And so I'm walking. And as I'm walking towards it, I don't know what happened. I don't know if he saw God standing next to me or what. But it began to cry and back up. And as I'm walking, it begins to turn around and begin to run at full speed, like there was a pack or something coming after it, and it's crying while it's running. I've never seen anything like that. But God said, you know what? Because you begin to call upon my name and you didn't give in and continue to, oh man, I'm not going to work. I'm going back in the house. I kind of feel a little sick. So I'm just going to call out. No, but I begin to trust God. When you're in that dark state, you can't stay in that state, because that's when depression begins to try to creep in. That's when doubt begins to try to creep in. That's when you try and say, oh, well, I'm kind of better by myself. So why am I trying to go out of my comfort zone? When we're in that dark season, that's when a lot of things begin to go through our minds. But here at our church, our scripture that we live by says that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, and the old is gone and the new has come. Meaning I'm putting off my old self, because my old self would say, go back in that house. My old self would say, I'm not qualified for this job. My old self would say, why would they want me? My old self. And I can't go back to that. Because God created me new. So that means my way of thinking, that means my way of walking, that means my way of talking, that means everything that I do, I need to walk in boldness. I need to continue to declare his freedom over my life. A few months ago, I had some issues and I started letting doubt set in, letting insecurities begin to creep back up. And it messed with me for maybe a few hours. And then finally I heard God say, I got you. And I stood there for a minute and I just began to go into worship mode. And I began to worship God. And as I worshiped God, he began to speak to me and he said, declare over yourself who I said you were. Who did I say you were? I said that you were going to be talented. I said that you are more than enough. You are well able to do far beyond what you could try and do in your own strength. We have to remember who God says we are. And if you're saying, well, I don't know who God says I am, it's in his word. Amen. You have to get in the word and begin to speak those things over your life. I am wonderfully and fearfully made. We have to begin to remember who we are. Because when you know who you are, then you can do mighty things in God. Amen. Then you can continue to do all that he set forth for you to do. The first scripture we're going to go to is Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to start at verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 17. It says, so I tell you this, that I tell you this, and insist on the Lord that you must no longer live as Gentiles do. In the futility of their thinking, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that was in them due to hardening their hearts. Having lost all their sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality, so they indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of the way you have learned when you have heard about Christ. And they were taught in him in the accordance with the truth that Jesus, that truth that is in Jesus. And you were taught with your former way of life to put off the old self, which was being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitudes of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So it's saying, don't give in to your old way of thinking. They had been thinking like the Gentiles do, and he said, don't think like that any longer. Don't no longer harden your hearts and think, oh, I'm not going to get my healing because God's going to bring it to you. Oh, well, maybe I'm supposed to wear these glasses. No, God said you were going to be healed, so we're believing for your healing. Don't shrink back and think, well, it's just me. I'm the new person at my job. What am I supposed to do? No, God wants to use you no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing. Even if it's just you smiling, God is using you. Even if, Unique, while you're walking your dog, you say, well, I'm just doing what I normally do. While you're normally doing that, there's someone that's walking and watching what you do, how you're acting. If the dog is acting up, are you getting an attitude? Are you getting frustrated? But are you joyful always in the joy of the Lord? We have to remember that we have to put off our old thinking and to think like God wants us to think. And we have to begin to be transformed in his likeness. So my new topic was it's transformation time. It's time for us to be transformed into his likeness and into his righteousness. And righteousness, when you look it up, it says a quality of being morally right or justifiable. And one version said an act of doing what God desires. So are you living righteous? Are you doing what God desires for you to do? Or are you doing what just seems normal? Or seems just ordinary? You have to begin to walk the way God wants you to walk, to do the things he wants you to do. And with doing the things that God wants you to do, or doing the things that God requires for you to do, doesn't mean it's going to be comfortable. A lot of times it's hard. Because me, when I was growing up, I was a little shy young lady. And when I began to pray and seek God, the first thing I asked him for was boldness. So now that I'm living for him and I ask for that boldness, I have to be willing to say, okay, God, I'm going to go talk to these people because that's what you want me to do. But God, bring that boldness. God, speak through me. God, give me what you want me to say. So now that if I go talk to someone, I get excited about God because that's who I serve. And so now I can show the love of Christ. I remember the first time I was talking with Tanya at work one day, and we were sitting at the table, and I said, "Let's pray." And she's like, "Okay." And I just began to pray, and she's like, after we were done, she's like, "Man, you did good." I was like, I just opened my mouth and let him speak through me. And a lot of times we think, oh, I don't know how to pray, but you have to open your mouth and just have a conversation with him. That's all he wants. He wants to hear your voice. He knows what we need, but he wants us to ask him. He wants us to take our strength off of ourself and lean and depend on him. And when you pray, that's like saying, "God, I need your help. God, I don't know how it's going to work, but I need your help." Because a lot of times when you try and do it out of your own strength, we get things wrong. So it's time to be transformed into what God has wanted us to do. And we must allow him to continue to transform our minds. Allow our minds to be renewed daily. You say, "How do I do that?" That's getting in my word. That's praying on my face, saying, "God, okay, I don't know what's going to happen today, but I put it in your hands. God, I need your help. I need you to order my steps." And as I begin to do that, then I can go into work and we're starting a new system and people are panicking and doing different things, but we're going to figure it out together. We may not know what we're doing at first, but we're going to figure it out. I'm not panicking, but I'm able to say, okay, it looks the same, but until we get some real documentation, then, you know, we'll have to figure it out together. But I'm not giving up and I'm not backing down and saying, okay, I don't know how to do it. I don't want to do it. But no, I'm keeping a positive attitude because I'm transformed. Because I know that with God, all things are possible. And I know with him, I can handle any situation. There's nothing too hard for him if I invite him into the situation. We have to invite God in and allow him to do it. The next thing he reminded me of is when you recognize who you are and you begin to step into what God has called you to do, it's an awesome thing. But you have to shift your focus and know that I'm not going to be another statistic. I'm not going to be what the world says I am. I'm not going to be what my peers say I am. I'm not going to allow what the lies of people in my past has said I am. But I'm wonderfully and fearfully made. When I was growing up, I had some family members tell me that I would just be like a prostitute. I had someone tell me that I would never amount to anything. I had someone tell me that I needed to just quit. This is me hearing this at a young age. But I didn't let it stop me because I understood that God had a call upon my life. So as I began to call upon God and begin to seek God, then I knew that with him, he would make things better. And as I seek him, there's nothing too hard. It may look hard, it may be confusing, but when I allow him to step into the situation, when I allow him to bring me out of that dark state, out of my self-pity, then I can recognize who's God and who's in control and realize that I am more than enough. A lot of times we think we're not good enough and we step back from our calling. God, you really want to use me? Was that me really hearing your voice? Are you sure? But God said, "Yes, I chose you. I told you I wanted to use you. And I said I would never leave you nor forsake you." So that means where you're going, I'm with you. Let me use you for a minute, Tanya. Elton, I know you're doing the video thing, but come over here for a second too. So Elton, I want you to stand right here. And I want you to turn that way. So you see how Elton's standing right here? And stay here, Tanya. And I'm in the middle. So this is me. And a lot of times we're walking and we feel like we're all alone. But God will send his angels before you and then he's coming with you. And as you're walking, he's there to help you along the way. So when you stop, he's already sent someone ahead of you to prepare the way. But if you continue to trust him, he'll walk alongside you and help you as you go along. But we have to stop thinking, oh, it's just me. I don't see no one helping me. It's just me right now trying to pay these bills. It's just me right now trying to get through school. It's just me right now. And God said, no, I'm with you always. So wherever you go, I'm with you. Whatever you do, I'm with you. But you have to trust him. I'm dying. You have to trust him. We have to trust him. When you begin to trust God, there's nothing too hard for him. There's nothing. So even though those people said I would never make it, I graduated with more credits than what I needed. Even though I was told I should just drop out now, I passed that class. And the teacher was like, I don't understand what happened over the last few months. And all I could, God said, just smile, just keep going. Don't rub it in his face. Don't say nothing else. Just let me do what I want to do. And I just continued to smile. And even though it's interesting, even though those family members said I should just go and just be a prostitute, I have a loving husband and wonderful children. And they're like, man, you turned out to be a wonderful young lady. It's because of God. It's because of God. Because I didn't give in and allow myself to stay in that dark state and allow those thoughts to continue to define my identity, but I broke free of all that mess and I began to walk in what God had called me to do. I began to allow him to transform my way of thinking, the way I was living, the way I was acting. I allowed him to take complete control. When you begin to surrender and you say, okay, God, I can't do it by myself, but God, I'm allowing you to transform me. I'm allowing you to re-look at my life and show me what I'm supposed to be doing. When I begin to allow God to step into the situation, he began to turn things around. So when I just begin to call upon the name Jesus more and more as a teenager, as I was going on through life, I began to just say, okay, God, I need your help. And when I really started focusing on God, I found myself in this youth group. And as I was in this youth group, I said, God, you know what? I want to just be a vessel that you work through. I don't want to do things out of my own flesh or my own desires, but God, I want more. When you first get saved and you're on fire for God, you can't help but to read your word. You can't help but to tell others about you. So I began to just read and pray. And as I was reading and praying and just allowing myself to be filled up. Because a lot of times we get empty and we feel like, God, I need more. God, I need more. And when you're desperate, you can't help but to just get on your face and begin to just worship, begin to just press in. Because just like when you're hungry, you're like, okay, I need to eat something right now. I'm going to pass out. I'm getting a little shaky. My sugar's low, whatever the case may be. You're filling up your body with whatever it is that could help you fill that void. And just like when you're saved, you can't help but to let me get around some other believers. Let me get in my word. Let me continue just to allow him to fill me up. And you say, well, what am I being filled up for? So that when you go out there and someone says, hey, I'm really struggling right now and I just don't know what I'm going to do. Let me pray for you. You know, I don't know you, but I know God's going to do something in you. I know God has a purpose for your life. And you can speak and just open your mouth and allow him to speak through you. On Wednesday, I shared a testimony of these ladies at work. The one was in there just worshiping. And I just heard this clapping of her hands. So I was like, man, I'm going to get my tea, but I have to see what is going on. And so we get in there and the one lady's coming out and she has tears, but she smiled at me with just a smile like you knew it was a happy cry. And the other lady was just clapping her hands and just saying, thank you, God. And there's other coworkers coming in. They're like, well, is everything okay? I was like, she's all right. She's good. And they're like, well, she was crying. I was like, that's a happy cry. And she's don't worry. She's good. And so she finally calmed down. She said, let me tell you what's going on. Her car broke down. She didn't know what she was going to do. And she began to try and let doubt set in. But then she's like, no, let me stop and pray. And when she prayed, God said, go to the car dealership. And so she went to the car dealership, knowing she had bad credit, not knowing what's going to happen. She walked out with her keys to her new car. And so the other lady couldn't help but to praise with her because of the God we serve. And that's how it should be with other believers. You're being blessed. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. That's good. Not because it's the right thing to do, but because you should rejoice with your brothers and sisters. You should be happy when someone else gets blessed because we're family. We're a body of Christ. It's good to know that they're being blessed. So she couldn't help but to worship and praise. And by her worshiping and her praising, do you know that it spread? Because the lady went back to her desk and she's telling the other lady on the other side, she's like, man, because the one lady that stepped in and didn't know what was happening, I don't know if she still is, but a few years ago, she had a Buddhist thing sitting on her desk. And so I don't know if she's still a Buddhist or still practicing that, but that day she heard that God was real and God moved. And she was just like, man, I was just blown away. I didn't know what was going on. She's so excited. I didn't know if she was retiring and we all should be jumping up and down. And she's like, it's still just as good. God moves. Just when you count yourself out, you think nothing's going to happen. God begins to step in and let you know, I got you. It's going to be okay. And so as she began to worship, it was funny because all through that day, I couldn't help but to worship. It made me go into worship mode even more. So as I'm worshiping, I'm sitting there. I'm just like, man. And I sent an IM to the lady. She's like, girl, you about to have me run around this office. And I was like, just think about how good God is. Because a few months ago, me and the lady was talking, and she gave me a ride to work, and she was saying that she was going through a lot. And I said, you know what? This is just the beginning of what God wants to do. And she was like, I guess my car had a flat for a reason, and I need to pick you up along the way for a reason. I was like, yep. And so we've been connected since then, been talking, chatting here and there, and it just goes to show that God is real. He's faithful. And as we begin to seek him, as we begin to call upon his name and allow him to transform our thought process, because she could have just not even shared her testimony with the other lady, and then no one else would have known, and then she wouldn't have been praising like that, and then none of us would have known. But now those ladies left thinking, I wonder, you know, if God did it for her, could he do it for me? Because, I mean, she was just so excited. And even the other cubes right by there, one of the ladies was like, man, we kept saying God is good. She was like, yes, all the time. I was like, yes, he is. So by her sharing that, that's making other believers begin to step up and say, okay, let me let my light shine and no longer hide or shrink back.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197. To let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
And that's, we need to continue to allow him to transform us, to continue to be that light, because we know that we are more than enough. More than enough. But we have to listen to the voice of God and not be anxious and try and do things our own way. But we have to continue just to trust God. I'm going to read a passage. I'm going to read 1 Samuel. I'm going to start at verse 17. Because we have to remember how good God is. And look at what David says, because he was just a boy, but he was very wise. He was just a boy, but he knew who his God was. 1 Samuel chapter 17, I'm going to start at verse 32. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on the account of this Philistine." So let me back up. David is a young boy who was out with the sheep, keeping watch. His dad told him, go ahead and go with your brother. I need you to take this lunch to your brothers who are on the front line fighting. So he's supposed to be at home, but his dad sent him to go see his brothers. And David, being a little boy, knowing God, because he knew God, he knew his place in God, it helped him to walk with boldness and with confidence. So it says, David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on the account of this Philistine. Your servant will go out and fight him. Now, this is a big giant, especially compared to a little boy. If you want a visual, it's Marquise compared to little Sale right now. That looks like a giant. That's how a giant would look to us. So he said, your servant will go out and fight him. Saul replied, you are not able to go against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth. So right there, he's discounting David, saying, you're just a boy. You ain't qualified. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it and struck it and rescued the sheep from his mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and a bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defiled the armies of the living God. The Lord who has rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine. So Saul said to David, go, the Lord be with you. See, he said, when I was out there by myself, I had to take care of the sheep, and a bear came up and I killed it, and a lion came up and I killed it. And he said, so I can kill this uncircumcised man. Basically, uncircumcised back in the day is like calling someone a cuss word. He was like, I can handle that. And so then finally Saul was, he knows who his God is. And he knows that if God can help him with that, God can help him with this giant. Amen. And so finally Saul was like, okay, we got one. We got someone that's going to step up and is going to try. So we're going to let him do it. Later on in the story, because remember, they think, oh, he's just a little boy. They begin to say, the king gives him his armor and says, here, put on my helmet. Here's my sword. Put on my shield. And they get him ready. And he's like, hold on, let me walk around for a little bit. And so he's trying to figure out if he can use it. They put on him the armor that is too big. Because they're trying to protect him. But it wasn't too big because of the simple fact that he was just a little boy, but it wasn't the right time. He was going to later put on that armor, but it wasn't the right time. A lot of times people will try and shift you into a position, but it's not the right time. But when you know who you are in God, you know when's the right time. You know when he says you just to wait. I had so many different people say, oh, you can cut you up. And I was wanting to go with Tanya, and then I remembered I applied for them, and for whatever reason, I didn't even get a response. God said it wasn't for you to go. And I was like, God, I applied for this. It wasn't for you to go. And I could have just, I set up an email account with different job sites, and they've been emailing me like crazy. But God said, nope, I want you to go ahead and unsubscribe to all of that. So I keep unsubscribing, and somehow I keep getting them because God said, no, I'm going to do it if you just trust me. And I said, okay. But back to David, he was walking around with the armor, and he's like, no, this don't feel comfortable. This ain't right. So he takes it off, and he said, I'm going to do things the way I know how to do it. And he gets the stones, And as he's getting the stones, he said, God, you know, you helped me with the lion and the bear. This is what I believe he's praying before he goes after Goliath. He says, God, it's me. You helped me with the lion and the bear. I need you to come through right now. I know that you are more than able. So I ask that you would give me the strength and the courage and help me just to defeat this giant. And as he goes, he begins, we know that he ends up killing the giant. But it wasn't because he had on all that armor that they tried to give him. It wasn't because somehow he grew and he was just like Shaq out there ready to go after the giant. No, it was because he trusted in the God he served. Because he knew who he was in God. And when you know who you are in God, then you can go and do the things that he wants you to do. But we have to know who we are. We have to be willing and able to do what he wants us to do. I'm not going to read this last passage, but I want you to write it down if you can and go home and read this story. It's also in Samuel. It's First Samuel chapter 13. And I was reading verse 7. You can read the whole chapter. It's good. But start at verse 7 through 14. But it's when... I'll sum up some of it. It's when Samuel was king and he had an army with him. And they were supposed to go and fight this army. And the army against them was so big. And I'm drawing a blank right now. I can't remember who it was. But someone said his instructions were to wait there. And then they were going to make a burnt offering to God. And God was going to help them defeat the army. Samuel, yes. And they're supposed to defeat the army. But he was supposed to wait until Samuel got back. But how many of you know that when you're trying to do something, you got some haters around you, or you got some other people around you, and they're like, man, I don't know how it's going to work. They begin to speak to you. You're like, man, just try and do it this way. Just go on and get that payday loan. And you can pay it back with your next check. Yeah, you might be short in that one. You might have to borrow again, but you could pay it back on the next one. You got people that are telling you to do different things, and you're like, I really should wait, because that's what my instructions were to wait. And a lot of times we don't like that word. They say that the millennials don't like that word. We don't like to wait. All my kids, I got to wait. Like, yes, you have to wait. Oh, man. And they come back. I'm like, you didn't wait long enough. You didn't wait. You still got to wait. And so he was supposed to wait. But because the troops that were with him were getting anxious and they're getting weary, he said, bring me your burnt offerings and I'm going to do it. I'm going to make a sacrifice right now. We're not going to wait for Samuel to get back. We're going to make a burnt offering right now. And because he didn't wait, and he did the burnt offering, Samuel came just as they finished. And Samuel said, why didn't you wait? Your instructions were to wait. And he said, now, basically, to sum it up, he said, now it's not going to be the way God's not going to be able to help you out like he was going to help you. A lot of times we wonder why things happen, but we mess ourselves up because we try and get too ahead of ourselves. We try and do things out of our own strength. But we have to remember that God is with us and his timing is the best timing. And when we begin to trust in God, when we begin to look to God for our help and our strength and allow him to transform our thought process, then we can wait on God. We have to allow him to direct us, amen, and transform us. So instead of saying, I'm afraid of being, or sorry, it says the power of being afraid in the dark. No, I'm gonna allow the dark to transform my thought process. I'm not gonna stay in the dark long enough so that I can allow those depression or allow those thoughts to set in, but I'm gonna remember that while I was in the dark, that's when God began to show me what he had for me. That when you get in a tough situation, that allows you to look up and look to God. That allows you to know that I am more than what the world says I am. When you get in the dark, sometimes you have to get in a tough situation, because when you get in a tough situation, that causes you to begin to pray a little bit harder. That causes you to get upset with the devil and put him in his place. That causes you to begin to say, no, I'm not going to accept what the lie the enemy has said over me. I'm not going to accept what the doctor has said to say that I'm not going to be healed, but I'm going to believe what God has said. When you're in the dark, don't stay there long enough so that you allow those things to creep in, but begin to shine the light of God. Begin to bring the light that God has put down on the inside of you. He said, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. He said, we have to allow our minds to be transformed into his likeness, into his image. We have to begin to do all that Anna said we were supposed to do before. She said, we have to begin to pray the word. And a lot of times you say, well, I don't know how to do that. Maybe begin to start by playing the scriptures on an audio Bible. We all have phones. A lot of the Bibles now, you can push play and it'll read the word to you. While it's reading, I say, yes, I will mount up on wings as eagles. We have to remember to begin to pray his word. Begin to believe his word. We are seeing miracles when we watch the videos on Wednesdays. It's not just for us to come and watch these videos and say, oh, that was nice. I got goosebumps. That was nice. No, that man, when I watched that, I was like, man, God, we want to see that happen. Not so that we can say, oh, look at our church. No, look at what God is doing. Look how God is moving. Look at the power of God. We have to remember to point people back to God, not to ourselves, but back to God. And us coming on Wednesday and hearing about healing and transformation taking place, we have to allow this word to become real to us. We keep saying, oh, I want to be healed. But you're saying it with a little bit of doubt. I don't know how, because I don't know how it's going to happen. No, God, I don't know how it's going to happen, but I know that you are more than able to make it happen. God, I trust and believe that it will happen. I'm still believing for those coworkers to get saved. I'm still believing for those loved ones to get saved. I'm still believing for God to move in our finances. I'm still believing for God to heal Annis, for God to heal Sister Jane. I'm still believing, God, I know that you are more than able. So just how you talk to someone when you say, oh, I got this. When you're feeling yourself, begin to talk and pray with boldness. God, you are God that's all powerful. God, you said that you can handle every situation. So God, I'm giving it to you. God, you said for me to lay everything at your feet. So God, I don't know where my keys are. I need you to help me. Give me direction. God, I need you to help my children to act right. Give him everything. He doesn't want us to halfway give him stuff and then hold something back. Well, no, I can handle this. I still want to hold on to that little bit of addiction because, you know, I just wouldn't be me if I didn't do that same thing. No, no, I'm not going to give in to the lies or to what people said. I'm going to walk in boldness. A few weeks ago, I had to shake free of all that self-doubt, of all that low self-esteem. And it takes you saying, no, I'm not that any longer. But I'm boldness. I have boldness. I am transformed in the likeness of Christ. And therefore, I'm going to allow my mind to be transformed. So when those things try and cloud my way, I have to say, nope, it's not happening. And I even was reminded of when I was younger and we were in youth group, we couldn't say, I can't, but I get to. So I get to go to my job. Even though I may not like what I do anymore, like I said, I get to go there. And I get to smile. And I get to not give in to the negativity. I'm just going to close my mouth. All Friday and Thursday, I said, you know what? I'm just going to put on my headphones. And when I got ready to say something, my coworker said, didn't you say you're about to just go and listen to your music? I'm like, yep, that's right. Keep saying that to me. Every time I get ready to say something negative, just tell me, aren't you supposed to be listening to music? Yes, I am. And I put my headphones back in. So it keeps me in check because that's what I'm supposed to be doing. Let me just get in the vein of worship, because then what comes out of me is worship. I'm not allowing the negativity to set in, to change my mood, to allow me to start speaking, oh, she's just a hater, or they can't do it, or they're just behind. They're just going to make us more behind. No, because then it changes your whole attitude. And when one person starts getting a bad attitude, let me tell you, it can spread like wildfire. But when someone has a good, positive attitude, let me tell you, it's interesting. It changes everything. But you have to continue just to allow yourself to be transformed in Him. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this time, Lord God. God, we thank you that we can stay in the dark louder, long enough just for you to show us, God, who we need to block out. For you to show us those thoughts we need to allow to be canceled in the name of Jesus. For you to show us, Lord God, what you brought us out of and what you already delivered us from, Lord God. God, for you just to show us of what we're not going back to. Showing us the sea that we crossed, Lord God. God, we walked out of that desert and we're not going back there, Lord God. God, we ask you to continue to transform us. Continue to renew us. Continue to revive us. Continue to show us you, oh God. Continue to give us that boldness, Lord God, to be a light, to continue to stand on this word, Lord God, and to believe your word that it's full and true, and that it's more than able to do all that you have designed for it to do, God, and that we will remember what you said we are, that we would believe who you said we are, so we can walk in boldness, and we can walk, Lord God, carrying your light everywhere we go, Lord God. God, that we can walk and know that you are with us, Lord God. And that you're going to carry us through, God. We just thank you right now for this time.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon. And we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.